But new wine is for new wineskins. I've been waiting to ask this question here. How many of you are excited about doing ministry? Excited about doing ministry? I ought to be. I've been married to my wonderful wife for 38 years, and she's known me so well. One of the wedding gifts I got from my wife was a subscription to Popular Science magazine. Anybody get Popular Science magazine? I've had it for 38 plus years now. Love science. I'm also a Trekkie. I just tell you about that too. But I'll tell you, how many of you have ever dreamed of having a time machine that you go anywhere with? Have you ever, you know, a Doctor Who kind of thing or whatever, right? I mean, if I did, I was thinking about that in preparation for the day. If I had a time machine, I could go anywhere. First choice, absolutely. I'd want to see that Holy Week. I'd like to be there. I pray to God I wouldn't be one of those crying, crucify him. Although I know the cost that meant for you and me. I'd love to be there at the empty tomb, hear the words of the angels. I'd love to be there to see his hands and feet and be there through the ascension and then Pentecost, you know. That'd be my first choice. Second choice certainly would be the Red Sea. Wouldn't you want to just see that part? I know Cecil B. DeMille tried to do it, but but my third choice, if I had a time machine, my third choice would be here right now, honestly. Absolutely. No better time in the history of the church that I can see besides those two to be on this planet right now. Do you understand there are more people alive at one time on this planet than since Adam and Eve? If we had the gospel of Jesus Christ, when's a good time to be able to share the gospel? When is the best time? You are in ministry or entering ministry in a time when we can change more people than the history of the world in our lifetime. With the gospel. That old patch still works. Doesn't need to change that patch, but we do need new wineskins. I tell you, did you see the Barna poll a couple years ago, came out about 3 years ago, on what's going on in our world today? I mean, where I'm at in the St. Paul area, 21% of the people there, according to Barna, 21% of the people still claim to believe in Jesus and the Bible is true. You know what that means in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area? You know in the math there? About 8 out of 10 people don't. Now, if you had a company with a product and 8 out of 10 people didn't have that product and needed it, would that be a good place for a company? Minneapolis-St. Paul, great area to have a church and ministry. And actually, you know what it is here? If you look at Barna stuff, St. Louis is better. About 4 out of 10 believe in Jesus or the Bible. Still have 6 out of 10 here, just in this area, where we got a seminary. Celebrating 175 years of ministry this year. Actually, on my birthday, same birthday, December 9th. Not the same year. Close, but not the same year. What a time. And some of you are here, are looking forward to in preparation, aren't you, to going out there and doing preaching and witnessing and caring for the needy and attending church meetings, right? That's in the top part there. You know, church meetings are ministry. I can ask this question here. Most ways I can ask this question, and I don't think anybody's read what I read, but I think maybe somebody might have done this. How many here have read John McPherson's several volume set on the history of the church in Scotland? Oh, I'm sorry. Not even here. John McPherson has, there's a little bit in one of his books where he's talking about church meeting. Now, we might identify with, how many have been to a church meeting before? Okay, you might identify with this happening. Don't have to be German to have this happen. Scotch had it too. Anyway, a guy stands up in the middle of a meeting, and he looks around the room and he says, I know my rights and I demand my rights. Another old member stands up and he looks around the room and he says, Jesus did not come to give us our rights. Jesus come to take away our wrongs. Let's be about taking away wrongs around here. Now there's the ministry that we're here for. Let me choose another date if I can. April 15th, 1912. What's the significance of that day? Now don't tell me they paid taxes that day because back then it was March 15th. I'm old enough to know that. Okay. Anybody know what happened April 15th, 1912? Thank you. Yeah, the Titanic sank. My kids think I know about it because I was there. But no, I'm not that old. But the Titanic, I want to use that Titanic as an illustration for our ministry and our time. Can I do that? And that's not to mean we're about to sink, although some people do look at the church somehow on that basis. But I wanted to use the Titanic as a symbol of the world and what happened there as an identity of our cause and part of our problems and our solutions. Now, Titanic sank. Over 2,200 people on that ship sank that night. How many of those people believed it was going to sink when they got on it? How many? Nobody thought it was unsinkable, right? Is this world going to end in Judgment Day? When? Could it be today? Could it be today? Does everybody know that? No, we live in a world where even Christian people don't want to think about the fact that this world is temporary, could end today. So the Titanic is a great illustration of the world heading toward judgment and people not thinking it's going to happen. And it sank. And of the 2,200 and some people on board, over 1,500 people died and were lost in that tragedy. And only about 700 survived. And every one of those 700 survived because of one thing. There was one thing on the Titanic that was there. A vehicle provided on the Titanic that, in case of emergency, people could use to escape the judgment of the Titanic going down. What's the vehicle on the Titanic that saved people? Lifeboats. In this world, there's only one vehicle that God created, where the gospel could be preached and sacraments applied and word of God could be shared and lived. He created a vehicle called what? The church. Now, let me use that illustration, if I can, this way. There are four kinds of lifeboats affiliated with the Titanic story, and there's four kinds of churches in the world. Now, bear with me on this, because I think this is true. Four kinds of lifeboats on the Titanic. First kind, the ones that weren't there. They didn't have enough. If they could have filled up every lifeboat to capacity and launched it, they still would have lost over 1,000 people. That's how short they were. In this world, are there enough churches? Are there enough Christian churches in the world? No. We are way far short of churches located in so many different communities, even our own nation, let alone in the world. We need more lifeboats. We need more churches out there. Now, the second kind of lifeboat affiliated with the Titanic were the ones that didn't work. There were lifeboats on the Titanic that saved nobody. They were a new design. They were partially inflatable and expandable, and the crew had never been trained on them. Now, why wasn't the crew ever trained on the lifeboats on the Titanic? Who expected to sink? But it did. So there were lifeboats on that Titanic that saved nobody. Now, are there churches that don't save anybody in this world? Now, I'm not talking about Buddhists and Hindus and Islam. We know that to be true from God. I'm talking about churches that own the name Christian, who own the message of Christ, but are doing nothing about saving anybody because they don't work. They are dysfunctional in their presence. The third kind of lifeboat. Anybody knows anything about the lifeboats on the Titanic? This is the ones I think about. The lifeboats were designed like the ship was. You had first class, second class, third class, and steerage lifeboats, which meant when the ship was going down and they started to put people in the lifeboats, certain lifeboats were only for certain people. And so many of the lifeboats of the Titanic, most of the lifeboats of the Titanic, were launched only partially full. They didn't fill them up because they ran out of first-class people in the area, and they weren't going to save any of those second- or third-class or steerage people. In fact, some of those steerage people, they kept locked up so they couldn't get out. They weren't worth saving. And there are churches in this world. In fact, we Lutherans, unfortunately, are very good at this, of being churches that look around and say, oh, those are the kind of people we're here to save. They're like us. They look like us. They sound like us. They're our economic standard. They have our kind of culture. They eat our kind of sauerkraut, drink our kind of beer, whatever we decide. But we say, these are our kind of people. We start churches by looking and say, are there our kind of people there? But I'll tell you, when the Titanic went down, there was a fourth kind of lifeboat. And that was the one that no matter what kind of lifeboat it was, when it came off the ship, when I got out there and the ship went down, there were people in the water. These lifeboats said, you know what? There's people out there we need to save, and many of those are people we know, and even if we didn't know them, they need to be saved. And so they found a way. They took care of the people in the boat. They took care of the people they had, and they might have shifted them from one boat to another, put the women and the weak in one, but they got the men, the strong ones, to go back, and some of those weren't even crew. They were just people from the ship, but they were strong and they could help, and they went and they saved whoever they could. And there's churches in this world which are going to do whatever they can by the grace of God to be a lifeboat to save whoever they can. My question to you today, whatever kind of ministry you're preparing for in, is which kind of lifeboat are you going to be in? Which kind of church are you going to serve in or be a part of? Because I tell you, the world is heading toward judgment. And we may be needing, in fact, Christ told us, we need some new wineskins. There are times when the church has to change because the new wine doesn't work in the old wineskin. And there are people who are dying without Jesus Christ. And this place right now, this time right now, as great and wonderful as it is, the decision for you and me is what kind of ministry we're going to do, what kind of church are we going to be. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins and the wine is destroyed. And so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. Let's be that fourth kind of church. Let's be that fourth kind of servant. In Christ's name, amen.
Together, 7, 9, 8, the God of Abraham prays, stanzas 1.